This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings, thankfully in Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 29th, episode 838. Good morning, Horse World.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cutting this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I write a song. Everybody hears and they sing along. Hey, hey, it's a heyday.
Woo! Man, it is a heyday, but not here, thank God. But I cannot stand it. Looking at the photos and the videos and reading people's Facebooks that are in the Southeast right now, Glenn, are you abreast of what is going on in my former hometown of Atlanta, Georgia?
Yes, I am. And I saw the pictures. We posted them on Horses in the Morning this morning. And wow.
It is, they're just not equipped to deal with any sort of precipitation. I mean, I'm a former traffic reporter. I was a traffic reporter for 10 years in Atlanta, and this was like the most exciting time because it was like game time. This is what you train for, you know?
Well, let's hear a little of it.
Okay, so I did write a traffic report just by looking at this map. That's all I had is this map of Atlanta. It's like a real-time traffic map, and I would use it to write my reports back in the day. So are you ready to be impressed? This is an current situation in Atlanta, Georgia right now. People are sleeping in their cars. There was a baby delivered on the side of the freeway yesterday because they couldn't get home. So here's the traffic report from Atlanta, Georgia, currently, right now. This is what I would do. They'd hit the little traffic with Jamie Massey. I would say, if you can, don't go anywhere. If you're already out on the roads, here's what you're going to see besides brake lights. On the inner loop of 285, starting on the north side, 285 is currently shut down at Riverside Drive. Also, all lanes are blocked at Peachtree Industrial Boulevard, 141 La Vista Road in DeKalb County, and the westbound outer loop is shut down at Flat Shoals, then again at Paces Ferry, and again on the west side at Bolton Road. Looking at the downtown connector northbound, it's shut down at the Grady Curve, and southbound is a parking lot from Georgia 400 all the way south down to the airport. I-20 is closed, ramping onto the connector, making your way onto 20. It's stop and go from Douglasville past Six Flags all the way into downtown. 75 South in Cobb County has all lanes blocked at 575, and then again at Delk Road, and making your way over to DeKalb County. The Stone Mountain Freeway is shut down at Hugh Howell. Also south of that in Rockdale County, I-20 is closed at Turner Hill. Heading to the south side of town, 75 northbound at Flat Shoals Road is currently closed. Coming up in 10 minutes, we're going to go over the surface streets. I'm Jamie Massey on The Bird Show. All the hits, Q100.
Very well done.
Yeah. That's crazy, crazy anarchy kind of craziness on the roads. I mean, that is, you know what? We've actually got somebody from Atlanta. One of our listeners in Atlanta, thank God we have him, is actually on hold. Let's talk to Beth right now, who was in the midst of all of this yesterday. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning, Jamie.
So you were in this yesterday? Tell us what happened.
Well, I actually am not in the city where you just gave all the traffic reports. I'm up in Woodstock.
Oh, God, way 75 north.
40 minutes, and I based on the weather report, went on to a dentist appointment, simple dentist appointment. It was not snowing when I walked into the dentist office. It was starting to flurry. Was not expecting anything, and I left the dentist office 40 minutes later, and there was snow on the road, and 6 hours later, I got home.
Wow. That's
on a highway.
Let me ask you this, first of all. How long have you lived on the outskirts of Atlanta or in Georgia?
I've lived in Georgia my whole life. I grew up in the city of Atlanta, and I've lived on the outskirts here and for 20 years.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this then, Beth. How on earth did you think it was going to go when it was snow flurrying walking into the dentist? You know better. You know that the talk of snow flurries sends people running to the grocery stores. It creates massive chaos. What were you thinking?
Well, you know, Jamie, my gut said stay at home because I got stuck in Snow Jam 82 as a teenager out at the horse farm. And it was, you know, waiting for the farrier to finish my horse up, and I would leave after that, and 30 minutes later, the roads were shut down. And my gut said stay at home, but I listened to the weather guy, and the weather guy was predicting a dusting in my area.
Yeah. So how many inches did you end up with?
About two.
Wow. About 2 inches, Glenn, is crippling.
You know what we always say? I always say the first inch is always the worst. The first inch causes the most accidents, causes the most traffic problems. It's always the first inch. Now, you had a friend that apparently is still stuck, or what's that story?
She is still stuck. She works up here for a veterinarian that I used to work for, and she lives in, I think Jamie used to live in Decatur. She lives down in Decatur, and she left Canton, Georgia. Usually it's an hour trip for her with traffic at noon, and she's still stuck on 400 with her car. And apparently she was smart enough to fill up with gas before she left, really took off, but stuck in her car, you know, to my knowledge, it's still at this time.
Wow. You know, it was really kind of neat looking on Facebook last night because I'm along with all my people in Atlanta right now because this is very exciting, but it's also incredibly treacherous. And the people up in New England, you guys, you say 2 inches of snow, that's nothing, but there is not one salt truck. There's not one gravel truck. They couldn't even get around to get anybody. The police can't even get anywhere because it is so crazy. Bridges are shut down. Roads are shut down. And they just can't get to help anybody. And what happens in Atlanta, because the temperature is not as cold as it should be, the snow hits the ground, and the ground is frozen, and it just turns to ice. So, and there's no salt trucks. So what was really cool was kind of watching people help each other out. Did you experience any of that, Beth?
Yeah, my husband did here at the house. He'll tell you about it.
Well, we have a road up where we live, and I was just looking outside, and it was just there were cars moving very slowly. Some were stopped, and there were people with gas canisters who were, you know, helping people out. There were people with, like, these dune buggies that were, you know, helping stranded motorists and stuff get home. Everyone was – it gave me faith in humanity that, you know, not everyone's staring at their iPad and stuff. And they're still knocking on windshields and can I help you? And it was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. My brother posted on Facebook, I just found it, that the local Home Depots and Kroger's were providing shelter, and it, friends across Facebook are opening their homes to strangers. She says, I know today sucked for a lot of Atlantans, but maybe we need these days once in a while to remind ourselves that the world is full of decent people. Other people were out walking around, inviting people into their homes, and it's that sense of Southern community that you get when mass chaos like this happens. Almost a state of emergency is what they kind of are going to have to declare in Atlanta.
It was a lot of younger people that were helping out, and that made me feel good too, you know, because you don't know from generation to generation if that aspect of humanity is going to survive intact, right? So
right.
It's kind of reassuring. It's really good. And, yeah, there were reports of people spending the night in restaurants and supermarkets and down at the OK Cafe in Buckhead. It's just bizarre. It's nuclear winter, you know.
Yeah, it is.
And we want to go snowballs at the weathermen, you know.
So I gotta tell you guys, this does happen in the Northeast, because when we lived in Massachusetts, it started, and what happened in Atlanta yesterday is the exact same thing that happened in Boston that one time we were there, is everybody left work early at noon figuring they would beat the snow home. Well, when everybody leaves at the same time, it causes chaos anyway in Atlanta. But that happened in Boston. Jennifer left work at noon. When the snow started, she took 10 hours to go 10 miles.
Okay.
So that was in Boston. So it happens there, too. It's just that everybody leaves at the same time, and then the snow starts, and then it's just a nightmare from there
on. What happened in 1982, I think, the reports were that the snow is coming later in the day, exactly like yesterday, and then it hits, boom, at noon, and everyone's caught. It's just a nightmare, and it's repeated itself. So in 30 years from now, when you if you're still around, you know, be warned. It's going to happen again.
and let's just be real, too. Traffic in Atlanta sucks on a good day. So,
exactly. Throw this in. It really exacerbates things, doesn't it?
Now, I have an important question for Beth yet, then we'll let her go. And thank you so much for joining us, both of you. Beth, I have an important question for you. How was Jamie's traffic report after all these years?
It was awesome.
That was amazing.
It was good job.
Should we do a traffic report segment here in the morning, cities all over the country with Jamie doing traffic?
No, because I only know one city, Glenn. I don't even know Phoenix, okay? I don't leave my little five-mile radius anymore, so I can't do traffic anymore. Definitely not. But thank you for the offer. Doing that made my blood pressure go up, and I probably won't sleep for 3 days. So that's how stressful that job was. So I'm really glad to be on the Horse Radio Network. Thank you very much. Hey, Beth, have you guys ever listened to the Burt Show?
I don't think so.
They're on Q100, and I mean, it's like a young 20-somethings kind of, you know, teenage radio show. And I was on that show for several years, and just even saying that I was on the Burt Show at the end of that clip made my heart and blood pressure raise up about 20%, just because it was so stressful being on that radio show and so high pressure, I guess. And just so I can sit down here in my pajamas right now and talk about traffic from Phoenix, life is good, my friend. Cheers.
Well, Chris was a DJ back when?
Well, back in the 70s.
Back in the 70s. So he...
Teenage
what
DJ.
Station?
WFOM in Marietta.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. Very cool. Well, yeah, so you understand. It's a little bit of pressure.
He does.
I still, to this day, I have nightmares about records running out, and if I walk into an area that's silent and there's no music or anything, I get panicky.
Yes!
That's funny.
Isn't that the worst? Oh, yeah. You get fired for stuff like that. Well, you guys, it was so great talking to you. Thank you so much for coming on and talking about it, and we'd love to have you back on.
Can I ask you one question, Jamie?
Sure.
Summers in Arizona versus summers in Georgia, because we're thinking of moving somewhere. Yeah, we want to go somewhere warm, and we are wondering, you know, what that heat is compared to Georgia heat.
You know, I grew up in Atlanta, and I don't think that – I don't remember the summers ever really bothering me. Because I grew up with a pool, and it was no big deal, and it was humid. The summers in Arizona are brutal. And you just need a lot of sunscreen. But if you are moving to Arizona, make sure you move somewhere with a pool. That's the only way to survive it.
Okay. Good deal. All right.
But
thanks.
Come on. The house next door to me is for sale. We can make this happen.
There you go.
Hey.
That would be great.
Cool. You guys take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I would be wanting to get the hell out of there right now, too, so go for it.
Yeah. I think there's people all over the country that are wanting to either move to Phoenix or Florida right now, one or the other.
Exactly. It was 75. The low tonight is 50, and it was 75 degrees yesterday. So, Beth, come on, girl. Let's do this thing. I mean, I don't know why anybody wouldn't live here. It's maybe 3, maybe 4 months of sucky.
I got to tell you, we're seeing the reports from Lexington, too. Lexington has been colder than the Northeast. It's been colder than Alaska, that whole Indiana, you know, Chicago, Kentucky, Ohio area has just been freezing cold this year. And they were back down to a zero again this morning. It just the deep freeze.
Yeah.
I just saw this morning, that it's minus 50 below zero wind chill in Minnesota this morning. Oh,
my God. We had some friends come in from Chicago over the weekend. They both travel for work, and they came and we had lunch with them on Saturday afternoon, and one of them is from Chicago and one of them is from Phoenix, and they both live in Chicago now. They moved there right before the winter. And the girl from Chicago, I said, oh, my gosh, this has got to be the worst winter ever. She goes, no, it's not the worst. It was this bad about 10 years ago. And the husband who's from here is like, somebody kill me. This is horrible. So it's just what you're used to, I guess. Like, see, to me, summers in Atlanta never bothered me, but I was from there. She wasn't bothered by the winters. And those people that we talk to that live up north, you know, they just go out and they break ice on the water buckets. You girls that we've talked to are just badass, you know? Like, you just put your head down and you deal with it. Like, the summer's here. You just put your sunscreen on and you deal with it. Just part of it.
You know, it's been hot here in the summer, Florida. We have a different kind of heat, as everybody knows. We have the humidity of 150%. But you know what? It hasn't really – you do kind of get used to it, and, you know, you learn when you can do things and when you can't do things, and you just go on with your day. It's just the way it is. You know what I think bothers me more is the bugs. I think the bugs bother me more than the heat does, because we have so many here in Florida. Well, let's get on with the show. That was fun, by the way. You did a terrific job. You have not lost it. You still have the touch there, radio girl.
I'm shaky right now. I'm shaky. That's how.
Daily Winnie time. We'll get to our Daily Winnies here. My Daily Winnie is one of these.
Happy birthday.
I have two happy birthdays this morning. A listener of ours, Ashley Pletcher out of Texas, and she is from Texas Trick Riders. We just had her on, on the Stable Scoop radio show last week. She does some amazing trick riding down there with that group. And also tomorrow, it is our friend Frankie Lovato's birthday. Of course, ex-jockey's been on the show many, many, many times. So happy birthday to Frankie as well.
Well, they're not releasing any names, but it's going to be a great story. And just sticking with the weather theme right now, congratulations to the lady who delivered a baby on the side of the interstate stuck in traffic in Sandy Springs yesterday. The baby was delivered. Creep alert. I don't know. I think I was just... I'm not going to give you details, but sadly, it was delivered by her father. Ah!
Oh!
And a police officer. So her father, who was driving her, and a police officer end up delivering the baby in the parents' car that was on the side of the road. Apparently, emergency personnel arrived after the baby was delivered, and it was born without complications. So congratulations to the lady, the new granddaddy who was all up in her business, and, you know, you got to do what you got to do. It's all part of life, I guess.
Yep, okay. Well, from that, we're going to go on. I just wanted to tell everybody in the second half hour of the show today, after our guest, we will be announcing what the new game is that we're going to be playing on Wednesday mornings. For those of you that tuned in this morning, hoping to play the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia, we ended that game last week, and we'll be starting a brand new one next week, and we have some exciting news to tell you about the brand new game. So stay tuned. We have our first guest on the line today. His name is Scott Evans. He's president of the Equestrian Aid Foundation, and they're doing a fun event. It's all about celebrities on today's show. So good morning, Scott.
And good morning to you and all of your guests here. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Sorry we got to you a little late. We had live reports coming in from listeners in Atlanta who were stuck in the nightmare there, so we had to get to them this morning. And
I can't
know you're down, you're down in Wellington, right?
I am in Wellington now, and I have to say I've been traveling for a little while, and speaking to everybody in every different town, everybody has gotten this this storm lately, and thankfully we don't have it right now, but we're getting rain this afternoon. That's about the only thing that we have to worry about, and that's nothing compared to everybody else on the East Coast.
Yeah, we can't complain. We're in a
palace,
so we can't complain either. A little rain doesn't hurt.
I'll be there next week. But I'm here this week for the Equestrian Aid Foundation. We have a great event coming up on Friday night. We call it Who Reigns Supreme, and it's a great way to really get everybody together because, you know, with all these different disciplines and different horse sports, you know, sometimes we kind of get in our own little worlds, but. With our mission with the Equestrian Aid Foundation, we began it 17 years ago with the idea, more than anything, that we could really help take care of our own in their time of need due to a catastrophic injury or illness. And it does make a difference in the long run when we come together as a community from all sports, all disciplines, and just get together for one evening of a really great time and featuring the reigning discipline, which is, I don't know if you all, I'm sure you all have seen how much of a surge of support they've gotten over the past 5 years or so. It's been amazing, and our people just love it.
Well, we have you have a couple of coaches, Tom McCutcheon and Tim McKay, who've both been on this show before, and you know I got to see them. I was fortunate enough to see them during the World Equestrian Games when we covered the games, and it is a lot of fun when you get some show jumpers and some dressage riders and some hunters in there riding reining horses and doing some sliding stops. That's always fun to watch.
It really is fun to watch, and I tell you, we started just a couple of years ago, and now the hunter riders are all excited about it, and the jumper riders are excited about it. Our dressage community is very much into the sport of reining, and it's just a way to bring people together, and everybody wants to feel like they are giving back to their sport and to their community, because at the end of the day, we really are just the horses humans.
Now, tell us just real quickly here a little bit, for those that don't know about the Equestrian Aid Foundation, what kind of work you guys do.
What we really do more than anything is that we are there to help those equestrians in their time of need. If they've come across a difficult time or they've had an accident or injury, having an illness that they're getting over. And basically what we do is we come together. We're all just horse people on the board of directors, and we have we're a committee-based organization where we have really an opportunity to look at each and every individual and help them, whether it is with an insurance bill or helping them perhaps with their rent until they can get their feet back on the ground and go back into the horse world. So basically, more than anything, we look at each and every bill that they have and try to figure out how can we help them in our way. And again, we are here simply to raise money that goes directly back into the horse community.
Well, and this is a much needed. There's nothing like this out there for riders, and it was much needed when it started. And you guys have expanded your mission and you know to include any kind of injuries and things. And I just think it's a wonderful organization. That's why we wanted to have you on today. If anybody is in the Florida area this Friday night down there in Wellington, I know we have listeners down that way. Where can they go? Can they still get tickets and all of that?
Absolutely. The best way to go is to our website because it's checked every hour on the hour, and that's EquestrianAidFoundation.org. And it is truthfully the best way to do it because we have every hour we have a count of how many tickets, how many tables and seats we're selling at the time. And it's also a great way to bring people into how we are becoming a little bit more tech-savvy. This year we're doing our silent auction through a company called BidPal, and we literally are going to have our guests making bids right there on their telephone, and which is an amazing for us. I mean, we're just horse people, and all of a sudden we're being high-tech. So this is a big deal for us.
Well, that's great. Very good. Well, again, Scott Evans, president of the Equestrian Aid Foundation. It is called Who Reigns Supreme. It'll be happening Friday, January 31st, this Friday night at the Jim Brandon Equestrian Center, which I've been to several times, in West Palm Beach, Florida. So if you want to get out of the cold and into the warm, head to Wellington this weekend for a little fun and help a great cause. Thank you, Scott.
We appreciate it. Thanks very much.
And I guarantee you it'll be about 70 degrees and nice out. That's because it's always 70 degrees and nice out in Wellington. That's
well, you
like.
Know what's sad, Glenn, is nobody can get down there if they're up north. Yeah, everybody would like to go, but the airports are probably shut
yes.
down. The road, you can't get through Georgia, my God. So, you know what? Send your check.
I just read that there were 3,200 airline flights canceled so far between yesterday and this morning. I'm so glad we came home Monday night, Jennifer. I am so glad.
Yeah.
You are so lucky.
Wow.
You are so lucky. Oh, my gosh. How was that, by the way? Did you have a great time?
Yeah, we had a great time, and we have a lot of products. We did a lot of interviews about new products that we'll be bringing to the show over the next couple of months, and talk to a lot of our current sponsors, and I think we have some new ones coming on board as well. So a lot of cool stuff going on there. Can I mention equity? Because you know what? I think it's time to talk a little bit about equity. And before we go to Victoria, let's not tease anybody anymore and tell everybody what the new game is going to be next Wednesday. It is thanks to EquityMFG.com and the Shake and Fork and the Flex and Fork and all of his other products over there that we are able to continue providing a game on Wednesday mornings. And, you know, they have the best manure forks, and whether you're cleaning your paddocks and you're using the Flex and Fork or you're just cleaning a couple stalls a day or you're cleaning a lot of stalls every day and you have yourself a Shake and Fork, they have committed to sponsoring our Wednesday morning game for the next year. And it is because of them that we're able to announce the new Equity game, which we are calling the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge. And this is what's going to happen every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. We're moving the time of the game a little later. Jamie, you didn't even know that, but we're moving it a little later so that the West Coasters don't have to get up so early. So we did that just for you. So at 10 a.m. Eastern, what's going to happen is we're going to have a celebrity on the line with us, a equestrian celebrity of some sort, on the line with us who is going to play against one of our listeners a three-round trivia competition. Though we will announce the prize ahead of time, so the wheel is going away. You'll know what the prizes are. And you'll actually sign up ahead of time. We're going to have a sign-up sheet. It'll be on the website by Friday. You'll go over there, sign up, and say, I want to play. We'll notify you that, okay, we drew a hat, and you won this Wednesday. You're going to come on the show. So you won't have to wait in line for a half an hour on air knowing whether you're going to be on the show. And you'll know ahead of time, so our contestants will be lined up, our celebrities will be lined up, and you're going to play a trivia challenge against celebrity. If you win in the three-round celebrity challenge, then you'll win the prize. And what we're going to do is if the celebrity wins, then the celebrity is going to donate those prizes to the charity of their choice. So
love it.
I think it's a win-win for everybody, isn't it, the way it's designed. I really do like it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And do you want to know, Jamie, who the first one next week is going to be and what the prizes are?
I would love to know.
Well, she's the first for everything we do. We call her our guinea pig because if we have something new we'd like to try, why not get one of the top Olympians in the world to join you to do it? And nobody is a better sport than eventer Gina Miles. So Olympian eventer Gina Miles is going to be on with us. She's getting up early. She does live in California. And she is going to join us for the first Celebrity Trivia Challenge. And it is going to be, you're going to win one of her bits. She has a complete line of bits out. You're going to win one of her bits. Plus, she has a brand new line of saddle pads out. They're the Gina Miles collection of saddle pads. She is going to give the winner a signed saddle pad. It'll be one of the first that's off the production line. These are just come out now. And so you'll find those are distributed by Professionals Choice, both the bits and the pads. So Gina is joining us as the first competitor, and we'll have one of our good listeners joining in. Right now, before we get the – we'll let you know on Friday where the sign-up is on the website so you can go sign up to play. Yes.
So one of our listeners is going to have to do a trivia contest against an Olympian. Like, what are the chances that our listeners are going to win? I mean, this seems very tough, Glenn.
Well, no, not really, because she's an eventer, and I already told her we're going to be asking all Western reigning questions. So, no, I'm just kidding. But, I think
like, what?
You got to remember, though, these questions that we ask are very general. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how what happens. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Gina will have fun with it, and I think it's going to be a good time. And we'll have a different celebrity each week. So we'll announce the prize and the celebrity each week as we lead up to it. So you can and once you're signed up and in the system, you're in the system. We'll contact you if you've been selected. You don't have to sign up every week. So once you sign up and you're in the system, we'll drop you an email and say, can you do this Wednesday? If you can, then you'll get to play. So it'll be that simple.
Cool. Perfect. I love
All
it.
Right.
Well, let's get to Victoria. She's been on hold for a while from England. Good morning, Victoria. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well. Thank you.
Now, I don't know if you could take Gina Miles, but you'd be a force to be reckoned with. Maybe Victoria will be one of our celebrities one day.
I think we should. She's
you
a
have
celebrity.
To make it British themed. I might struggle if it's too American.
Oh, you know what? A horse is a horse. We can figure it out. So what's going on over in horseandcountry.tv?
Well, there's been a big news story this week, which is about hard hats. And most disciplines are embracing the concept of always wearing a safety helmet. As you can see, in the last few years, we've had riders and dropping the top hat and going for a proper helmet. Show jumpers no longer wear those kind of velvet old battered caps that they used to wear. They all wear proper headgear as well. But in our showing, in the showing world, which is still a massive, massive thing in Britain, they don't want to wear safety hats. And there's a huge, big furore because one of the societies said, no, you have to wear a hard hat from now on with a chin strap. And all the professionals were up in arms, lots and lots of other people. And so there's ended up being a breakaway faction. And one of the major shows, Horse of the Year show, has switched to another society that are going to allow riders to wear just a beagler or a top hat or a bowler. So it's caused a lot of controversy.
Wow. Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, we unfortunately still struggle with that over here. And I think it's pretty much taken over with the English riders, but you can't. It doesn't seem like you could pay a Western rider to put on a helmet. Am I right, Glenn?
Yep.
I think
it's pretty much true. Yep.
I don't get it. I don't know why. You'll see kids and girls doing barrel racing at 20-something miles an hour on a metal barrel, and they won't wear a helmet. So it's still a fight over here. And it seems odd that you have to fight somebody to save their own life. You know?
Indeed. It's very odd. I mean, my slight issue is that when you get to Horse of the Year show or to the Royal International, which are the sort of prestigious championships, if you get to the very final, you then wear evening dress and a top hat, or if you're like riding side saddle, it might not have that same traditional look as we've always had. And I think the showing riders are arguing that their horses are meant to be very well trained and they're not jumping, they're on the flat, the accidents are rare. But a lot of people just think it's just unfair, it's a risk, and it's not, you know, we've got National Health Service, and if somebody falls off and hurts themselves, the government and the country has to pick up the bill for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's frustrating. I just think that if you don't want to wear one and you want to play a game with Charles Darwin called Darwinism, you go right ahead. But you know what? I'm going to wear one. So whatever. You know, it seems like those people that are like Lindsay from Riders for Helmets, they're trying to do a good thing and bring awareness to it. And what are you going to do? But yeah, this is definitely an argument that is going on here in the U.S. too. Now, tell us about what happened with the Brits in Florida.
Oh, we've got some of our top riders out over there the last few weeks, and they're staying there, I think, until it warms up in Britain, so they might not come back at this rate. But it was quite good to see Scott Brash and Ben Mayer, who are the current world number one and two, battle it out in a Grand Prix. And Ben won this time, so world number two beat the world number one. It's tough at the top.
Wow, fantastic. Congratulations to them. And then, of course, would not be Horse and Country TV without talking about Charlotte.
No, indeed, every other week there's a new story about Charlotte. But what's quite interesting is she has qualified for the World FEI World Cup, which is the winter series that's held indoors. And she has had two series wins back-to-back, and I think she's aiming for the final. So if she's already got Olympic gold, she's won European gold this summer, or last summer, and she's heading to the World Championships coming up this summer. And so if she gets the FAI World Cup as well, that would be the complete set of the four most prestigious titles that you could get in dressage.
Absolutely. Now, over here in the U.S., when it turns to winter, event horses will get like a month off in the winter time to kind of just to kind of settle down. When does Vallegro get a day off?
Oh, I mean, they give him a very easy life because he just gives you so much. So I think after the Olympics, he had a long, long break and all he was doing is hacking and things. And he's so good. It's not like you have to keep bashing away and improving the movements. You know, he's got every movement nailed and he's scoring 90-odd%. So I think they are quite easy on him, but he's got quite a busy yearly schedule. No winter holidays for him, really.
Yeah, you can rest when you're dead, I guess. Sleep when you're dead.
Indeed.
Now, yeah, he is. Just looking at pictures of him on your website, if you wanted to see Vallegro, just Horse and Country TV, just the picture of him in his little blanket and cooler, just trotting around like a victory trot. Holy cow, man, that horse is just so impressive. So absolutely impressive. What else is new on Horse and Country TV?
Well, we've been adding some new videos, as always. We try and add a new one every single day. So if you head over there, we've got some good ones at the moment. One of them that you could look out for is we've got a clip about what makes a good eventing sire. So Jenny Riddle interviews an event rider. And if you want to see some action, we've got the famous John Whittaker competing at Olympia, and he came very close to winning the Grand Prix. I think he was beat by a fraction of a second, but it's just such a masterclass in brave speed riding.
Wow. And that's the video of the week.
Yes, indeed.
And now, before I let you go, you've got a piece on the TV about the Queen. Or sort of about the Queen.
Well, going back to showing, and actually one of the riders who has been very I can't say that word. She's been very passionate about wearing riding hats and wearing proper hats. She is Katie Jerram, and she's one of the biggest show producers in Britain, and she has a huge yard full of absolutely beautiful showing animals, and one of her owners is the Queen. So no pressure there.
No pressure.
Just have to answer to royalty.
Indeed. And but she's a real enthusiast as well of showing. She'll, if you compete at Royal Windsor, which is the show in her back garden, she'll come down and watch you. So it's not like she's a remote owner. She's quite hands-on.
Can I say something here? I've seen the pictures of the Queen at shows like this. She never looks happy. So if you're riding your horse, you don't know whether she's happy with the way you're riding or not until you're done. You have to walk back there and see the Queen. And then you're probably shaking in your boots. I mean, how about that as an owner of your horse, the Queen?
That's pressure.
She does seem to be very kind of, she's very calm and she doesn't ever seem to get wildly excited or really angry or anything. But I went to Ascot Racecourse a few years ago and we got to watch the racing with some of our Olympic gold medalists. And Tina Cook went down to the Royal Box with Zara Phillips and she got to watch the race with the Queen. And it was when Franco won his final ever race and it was the British Champion Stakes. It was hugely exciting. And apparently the Queen was like going, "Come on, Franco! Come on, Franco!" And she was getting terribly excited. So
I think she does.
I think she just keeps a public face, but she does get excited about her horses.
Oh, I love it. That's awesome. Well, before I let you go, I want to make sure, how is he in the news this morning? How is Prince William this morning?
I haven't heard. I've been out riding all morning, so I don't know what's been happening.
Okay, because I had a dream last night that he and I were stuck in an elevator together. Seriously? I don't know why, but I was stuck in an elevator with Prince William, and somebody, there was other people in the elevator, and somebody was smoking a cigar in the elevator, and it was making Prince William and I very sick. So we bonded over the fact that we hate cigar smoke. So I just wanted to make sure that he was okay. So if you see him this morning, tell him I said hi. I still hate cigar smoke.
I don't think we bump into royals very often on a daily basis. I have just Googled Prince William to see if he has been in the news, and there's the most tenuous story ever, which is friend of Prince William comes to wife's rescue and delivers baby son on kitchen floor. I think the friend of Prince William part is particularly useless there. Does it really matter if he's a friend of Prince William? Man comes to wife's rescue. I think we'd be fine. But yes, right. And they've got a picture of Prince William, which makes it look like he was delivering the baby son on the kitchen floor.
Well, you know what?
No, he
speaking
was
of
not,
baby,
because didn't
they name the they named the baby this week, didn't they?
The baby's been named for a while. His baby, Zara's baby, got named this week.
And what was the name?
Mia Grace, which is quite nice.
Well, there you go. That's because that baby has already betrothed the Jamies.
So, Mia and
so,
yes.
Lucas and Mia sounds good. Lucas and Mia
yes,
sounds really good. I like it.
It
I like
does.
It. Well, tell. I just figured that you would see Prince William because, you know, you're in the same country and it's England and everybody knows each other. So just tell Prince William I said hi and that I had fun in the elevator with him. It was great.
I will do. You might cause more headlines over here, but never mind.
All right, Victoria, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
Brilliant. Great to speak to you both.
You do. Bye-bye.
I can see it now. Traffic reporter stuck in elevator with Prince William for 12 hours.
You know what's funny is I did not remember that I was stuck in the elevator with Prince William in my dream last night until she got on the phone and I heard that accent. And I was like, why do I know that? Oh, I was just in an elevator with somebody with an English accent. Who was that? Oh, that was the prince. That's how, like, the dreams come back to you, you know? So, anyway. It
strangest
was
dreams. Well, let's take a break for our song. We have more show coming after the song. We have a couple of news stories, and also, if we get to it, 40 things that you should do before you die, 40 horsey things. And we also have, coming up later, author Lisa Wysocki, one of our favorite authors because she writes us into her books. So we love, love, love her. She's going to talk about something that she has coming up at the Southern Equine Expo. So let's hear a little bit about the Southern Equine Expo, and then our song, Sweetwater, by Jared Rogerson. If you are looking for a cure for the winter blues, then the Southern Equine Expo is the answer. Formerly the Southern Horse Bonanza, the Expo will return to the Tennessee Miller Coliseum in Murfreesboro, Tennessee on February 14th through the 16th. During this event, attendees will enjoy clinics presented by nationally known horsemen, educational seminars, and hands-on demonstrations. And new to this year's Expo are competitions, including a blacksmith and farrier competition and a youth ranch horse challenge. Many past guests of the Horse Radio Network will be clinicians at this fantastic event. Chris Cox, Tammy Crawford, Dick Pieper, Chase Dodd, Lisa Wysocki, Mark and Miranda Lyon, and so many more covering a diversity of disciplines. Our good friend Wayne Williams of Speaking of Horses will be doing the announcing. Plus, it is one of the most affordable expos in the country at only $9 for adults for advanced tickets. Oh, did I mention the shopping? There is lots of it, and who doesn't need a shopping fix in the middle of February? If you live anywhere near Tennessee, plan a trip to Murfreesboro for the Southern Equine Expo, presented by Tartar Farm and Ranch Equipment. That's February 14th through the 16th. Visit them online for all the details at southernequineexpo.com.
It too. So they fired up Billy's beat up truck. right out of school. With millions of people out of work, wondering what to do. Money doesn't grow on trees, so they got down on their knees in that sweet water, flowing down through the rocks. It's kind of like looking for the prize in a Cracker Jack box. And they smoke some pot and pan for gold. These facts are stories that I've been told. Living that California dream in Wyoming. They say it takes money to make a lot of money. Well, Billy and Nellie are living on the milk and honey. And policy is the best prevention. Now all they got to pay is attention to little shiny yellow pebbles in the sand, in that sweet water, flowing down through the rocks. It's kind of like looking for the prize in a Cracker Jack box. And they blow some pot and pan for gold. Living that California dream in Wyoming. Now Nellie's got a Corvette. Billy bought a new pickup truck. Some think they robbed the bank. Now others say they were dealing drugs. They didn't go for a higher education. Never needed a real vocation. They don't worry about anything. They still get down on their knees in that sweet water. Flowing down through the rocks. For the prize in a Cracker Jack box. And they pray to God and pan for gold. Now the real story has been told. Living that California dream in Wyoming. Living that California dream.
Well, that was Jared Rogerson and the song Sweetwater. You can find all of Jared Rogerson's music at jaredrogerson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am here with the usual crew today. We have Jamie Jennings out there in Phoenix, Arizona. We have Coach Jen on the other side of the studio. So that is what we have going on here. I got to tell you that Uta posted, she's in northern Ohio, and she has posted that they had minus 18 this morning.
Oh, gosh.
And I also just posted a video that just came out from 11alive.com. It must be one of the TV stations or
something.
That's
Atlanta.
Yep, and they posted a video just now of flying over the traffic at a still a nightmare. So the video was incredible. You have to take a look at that if you get a chance at Horses in the Morning as well. Hey, the University of Kentucky equestrian team has been having quite a time this summer or this winter because they're supposed to be practicing right now, and they can't because it's like the minus 2 degrees and snowing and it's just a nightmare there. So Kathy Weishoff, who is the coach, said that the University of Kentucky eventing team has joined forces with the dressage team and started their own sled joring team. We've heard of ski joring. Well, they didn't have skis, so they went with sled joring. And there's a video, actually, that's floating around now that's kind of fun. You see these horses pulling around sleds with the team members on them who go over jumps and stuff. So they're doing the best they can to stay occupied up there in Kentucky and to get some practice in with the horses.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. I'm looking at, you know how the news and the traffic, you know, there'll be the news story going on, and then underneath that, there's like a ticker on the bottom that always says going on. The guy on the news channel, the traffic guy, put at the bottom of the ticker, "Don't get on Johnson Ferry Road. Seriously, don't." That's on like Channel 2 Action News. I'm sorry, funny. That's what made me laugh.
Do you think there's anything open today in Atlanta? Everything has to be closed, you would think.
My brother just posted a picture, and it says, "Stay away from Five Points, y'all." And it's like a deserted, snowy street, and it's got the AT-AT coming at you down the road. It's like somebody superimposed one of the Raiders, Star Wars creatures coming down the road.
Oh,
laser beams. This is so funny. It's just entertaining to watch because, again, yeah, Atlanta's closed. Georgia is closed, people. It's closed.
Who could just sent me a message that says that their schools have been shut down for the last 3 days. Can you imagine? These kids are going to be going to school till August in some parts of the north. Just incredible.
Eventing Nation just posted that the entire city of Aiken is shut down as well. So we're feeling for you people in Aiken. You travel south to escape the cold, and now you've got 4 inches.
Can I bring something up, though, that it's not this? There's a lesson in here. It's not a happy story, but I just want to bring it up because of the lesson in here. There was she was a barrel racer that died over the weekend at a show, and this is in Cedar City. And what happened was she was there with her boyfriend, and they were staying in their trailer camper, you know, like you have, only they had a generator outside the trailer, but the generator was too close to the trailer, and the fumes from the generator got in, and she died of carbon monoxide poisoning, and he is in the hospital in intensive care. So just as a our best to the families out there, she apparently was well-liked and had just graduated high school. But keep the generators away from the trailer. That's the lesson here. And, you know, I thought, how could she have died of carbon monoxide, but it was the generator that caused it. So keep that away from the trailer. I often wondered about it when they have the generators that are built right in underneath the living quarters. And, you know, they must be sealed somehow because I always did think about that.
Well, I know that a lot of them have the generators on top, which is probably a better idea. I've never seen anybody with them under. I would not buy a trailer like that. That's too scary. Yeah.
Yeah.
They need to be sealed. And the problem is a lot of these older trailers, the seal around that box that holds the generator has decomposed because it's usually a rubbery-like material, and it decomposes, and then it leaks. So if you have an older trailer, maybe a good time, get that checked. Get that checked, people. Well, I love this list that you posted, Glenn. 40 horsey things to do before you die. Where did this come from? Because this is so clever. Must be England.
This came from England. This was Horse and Hound that posted this, and I thought we could just go through it real quick and see between the three of us, how many. There's 40. We'll do 20 maybe. We'll see, of the top 20 here, how many we have done, okay, between the three of us. All right, so these are things that you should do. It should be on your bucket list, horsey things, before you die. Number one was watch the Grand National in person, and, of course, that's the big steeplechase in England, and I venture to say none of us have done that, right?
No, never been to England.
No, never done that. Two, swim with your horse in the sea. Jennifer's got that one checked off. How about you, Jamie?
Oh, yeah, check mark. But it wasn't my horse, but it was a horse in the sea, and I've done that twice, and it's life-changing.
Where did you do it? Was it down in Georgia?
Well, no, because we don't really have a sea close by, but I actually, this is just one of those stories that is ridiculous. I got to swim in Andalusian in the ocean in Southern California when I worked for the guy that trained Shania Twain's horses. Well, you know, long story. Anyway, I took an Andalusian into the beach there, and then when we were in Spain, we got to take an Andalusian into the ocean there. So my preferred method of ocean riding is on an Andalusian.
No.
Apparently.
Yeah,
why not?
Jennifer, what was your preferred method of riding? A quarter horse from Pennsylvania, right?
In the ocean?
Yes. Yes.
What? No, actually, I've ridden two Welsh ponies in the ocean, both of which pawed a lot and tried to roll. Yeah. That was my experience in the ocean. It wasn't at all romantic or Andalusian.
Jamie, I think you might have done this one. Number three on the list was fall off in a water jump. Have you accomplished that goal?
I have fallen off just outside of a water jump, just before in a water jump, just after a water jump, but never actually in the water jump.
Jennifer,
so I haven't
have
done
you
this
accomplished
one.
That goal?
Yeah, I guess technically it was fall because the horse got to the water jump, landed, stopped, and poured me off on his way down to roll with all the tack on. Yeah. I guess that counts.
Oh.
Yeah, that counts.
Yeah.
If you get wet, it counts. And the nice part about it is with those new airbags, you float. So you don't have to worry about drowning either.
That's so true. So true.
Now, I know Jamie's done this. You've done this. Ride out for a racehorse trainer. And you used to do that for income, extra money.
That's what all I did for money when I was 19 and insane. But yes, definitely you have to ride a horse on a track at least once. It's so exhilarating. But again, high stress. I've just had high stress jobs my whole life. But yes, insane and awesome.
Can I add to that? You've had high stress jobs your whole life until now.
Until
now. We should sit around and talk about horses in the morning.
Yeah, this is my life is perfect. I do have a baby now, though, so that's a little different.
Oh, that's, yeah, there you go. There you go. And a husband who flies fighter jets, so there's a little stress.
Yes. I don't think about that, though.
Okay. How about, so Jennifer, I know you have accomplished this one. I'm not sure about Jamie. Ride side saddle. Jennifer's done that quite a bit. Never done that?
Never. Jennifer, where did you ride side saddle?
Jennifer.
Did we lose her?
Did we lose her? I don't know.
Oh,
she's
we'll
got somebody just came to our door. So, yeah, she rode side saddle in Massachusetts when she was the manager of the Myopia Hunt Club. So she got to ride side saddle up there and actually enjoyed it very much. And if we could afford it, we'd probably own a side saddle because she would want to continue doing it. So now the next one was go on a horseback safari. That's something we've never done.
Someday.
That would be fun.
It's on my bucket list.
Yeah, that would be fun. I don't know if Reese Kaufler-Stanfield just got back from 2 weeks in Africa. She's the host of the Dressage Show. And I don't think they actually did the horseback and safari thing, though.
Or you could just go where James and Taryn Atkinson did, where the you're on cross-country and so are the animals. Yeah, giraffes on the cross-country course. I remember that. Uh-huh.
And speaking of which, I know that you've both done this one, go cross-country schooling with an elite event rider. So who was your elite event rider, Jamie?
You know what? If you pay enough money, Glenn, you can cross-country school with anybody. You know, you just have to sign up for their clinic. So, you know, five or six different clinicians that I've ridden with.
Yeah, I thought so. And I know Jennifer did back in the day as well. So you guys both have that one checked off. Fence judge for a day. Jennifer and I have that one checked off, and we're going to do it again this Saturday. We're going to be out fence judging at a CDE at a combined driving event at the Florida Horse Park this Saturday. So they needed extra volunteers, and we did that before, and we loved it. It was fun. That was fun doing. Now,
I do think that they should make volunteering or fence judging part of the kind of curriculum of being an eventer or a combined driver or something. You should have to have volunteer hours because it is so important.
It
and
is.
You learn
and
a lot.
You know what? She said, you know, for the CDE this weekend, which probably gets 70, 80 carriages there, she said they had half the number of volunteers they needed to run the marathon phase. They needed, you know, double the number. So they always need volunteers. And it really wasn't that hard. The hard part with CDEs is they have all the gates. It's not like a jump where you either jump it or you don't. They have the gates where you have to go in, and you go in through A, B, C, and D, and you have to do it in the right order, and you can't backtrack across yourself. So you really have to pay attention. So they just didn't trust me doing that. They gave me the little stopwatch, and I was the timer. Jennifer actually did this. Jennifer did the important part. Number nine is join up with your horse. And, of course, that goes back to our friend Monty Roberts, and I think that that's something that we've probably all done. Number 10.
Does it count if you tried and failed?
There was no joining.
Hash mark? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, you tried.
I tried.
10, have a driving lesson without the car. You a driving carriage lesson? I can raise my hand on that one. I got that one covered.
The only time I've ever driven a horse was when we were driving her horse in Norco, California with all the Christmas lights on it, and she gave me the reins I don't know, 30 seconds. That's the only time I've ever driven a horse.
And that horse, a monkey could have driven, to be honest with you. That was a nice one. Real quiet. I'm not saying you're a monkey. I'm just saying. It was a very quiet horse.
Fine.
Number 11, ride flying lead changes, which you both have done.
Yep.
So I think that one's accomplished. Number 12, have riding boots made to measure. In other words, custom riding boots.
No,
I'd
never.
Like to try that. I'd like to try it.
I would love to.
Yeah. Jennifer, let's go get measured.
Yeah, let's do it.
The problem with getting measured is then you actually have to buy the boots. So that's the problem.
You didn't say that.
Yeah. Number 13, go hunting in Ireland. I know that's something on Jennifer's list.
Yeah. Bucket list.
Yep. Ride in a 3-day event. Well, you both have that one checked off.
Yeah, but I want to do the long format. I want to actually ride in an actual 3-day, you know, as opposed to the horse trials. So that's still on my list.
They still have a couple of those out there, don't they?
They do, and they have the, I want to do one of the training 3 days.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Number 15, ride your horse from coast to coast. That just sounds like too much work. Forget that.
Never going to happen.
Yeah, whatever. That isn't on the list. That requires that.
Go from the coast to coast to Guam.
Yes, coast to coast with like 2 miles would be great. Number 16, go riding at sunrise in Hyde Park. Well, that's an England thing. We would probably have one here that we could correlate to that. Maybe the beach in Hawaii would be good.
Sure.
Yeah. 17, lead a winner into the paddock. In other words, the winning, you know, the winner's circle at a race. I've been in the winner's circle at a race. You have too.
I think that's the part that, you know, maybe I didn't get to lead it. I've had to elbow somebody in the mouth to do that. But just to be in the winner's circle photo, that was bucket list, and I finally got that done.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. And Jennifer has taken a polo lesson. Number 18 has learned to play polo. I know Jennifer's taken a polo lesson before.
Totally fun.
Went to take a polo lesson in Atlanta. It was a polo place north of Atlanta. And I don't mean to tell tales, but the guy giving the polo lesson was like 80 and a bazillionaire. And he said that the first lesson when I signed up was polo theory, and it was going to be like 4 hours of sitting there learning everything bookwork about polo, and I just couldn't do it, and so I canceled my lesson. I went and ride. Let's get on the horse. My God.
Yeah. When I took polo lessons, they just threw you on the horse, handed you a mallet, and said, go have fun.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, Jamie, I lost my place here. Can you do the next one? Do you have it there?
Spend the day at the Calgary Stampede. Oh, yeah?
That's on my bucket list, Calgary Stampede. I so want to do that. I want to ride in one of the chuck wagons where I die coming around the corner at full speed. I want to do that.
I mean, if you're going to go, that's the way to go, right?
Yeah, if you're going to go, you might as well die in a chuck wagon race.
Yeah, sure. No. Number 20 was see a horse sold for more than $1 million. We've played audio clips of that from Keeneland. All you need to do is go to one of the spring sales down in Lexington, and you'll see that 10 times.
And I highly advise that if you do that, sit on your hands and don't have any facial twitches.
No,
just
don't
make sure
your
either
nose.
Don't scratch your nose. That's right. Don't wave at anybody coming in. None of that stuff. Make sure you sit there like a statue. I know 21 would be on your list, right? At badminton. I mean, that's something that...
Yeah. Jennifer and I were discussing this earlier. Ride at badminton at number 21. The only way that's happening is if they're doing pony rides outside of the festival.
I've been waiting for you to get to Rolex. I want to not have you as a co-host at Rolex. I want to have you as a guest at Rolex because you're in between, you know, you're in between dressage and cross country day.
Yeah. So. Again, we'll have to update on Jet next week because it doesn't look like he's going to get there and it doesn't look like Edward's going to get there. So I got a ways to go. But the good news is eventing, you can event until you're 80. So who knows? Maybe I'll get there someday.
Okay.
Not going to be soon. Now,
hey, we have our next guest on the line, and I want to get her into this conversation. Good morning, Lisa Wysocki, our favorite author of all time because she includes us in all her books. Yay!
Good morning.
Good morning, Lisa. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I've been listening. This has been a fun morning.
Well, tell us, how many of these have you done? Have you done some of these check-off items here?
I've not done the Andalusian in the ocean, but I've done an Appaloosa in a lake. Is that close?
That's the same thing, girl. Same thing.
Was it romantic?
I was 12, but it was a ton of fun. And I used to compete side saddle years and years ago, and totally different way of riding. If nobody's ever done it or if anybody's not done it, definitely need to try that. So, yeah, and I've been in the winner's circle at a race, you know. Like Jamie, I've not done the elbow thing to actually lead the winner in, but I've been there.
You just got to kick somebody in the shin, grab the horse, and run.
Exactly.
Well, you know, guys, I'm looking down the list here, and you guys had most of these. I actually do have some. Let me just get to a couple of them that I actually have done here on the list. And one of them is ride a heavy horse, and we used to own Percherons, so I've ridden the draft horse before. Another one was see a foal being born, and Jennifer and I had had some ponies that had babies, so we've helped with that. And Jamie, you watched at the Spanish Riding School, right? Didn't you see them do their thing over there?
I did. I saw them in their school in Vienna, but it was only practice. But still, it was just absolutely incredible.
Lisa, have you ever gone riding in Mongolia? Because that's on the list.
No, and I do have to say that is not necessarily on my bucket list, although almost everything else you've said is.
Okay.
What about riding coast to coast? Is that on your bucket list?
No, I can pass on that one and be very happy.
Me too. That just sounds like your butt's going to hurt.
You know, a lot of people do it, though, and they just love it, and I'm sure it's a really great experience. It's just not for me.
No, me either. No, maybe a carriage. I could do a carriage coast to coast that had, like, a toilet and a wagon and a cooking quarters, you know, and had the whole thing, like a camper. I could maybe
that. Would be fun. I could do that.
Lisa, this is not why you're on, but thank you to the Horse and Hound for posting that. That was a lot of fun. Lisa is with us today to talk about a number of things, one of which, and why don't we start with that, is you're going to be making an appearance at the Southern Equine Expo in Tennessee coming up. And speaking of Tennessee, are you iced in at this point?
No. You know, Nashville kind of dodged a bullet. It's very cold. It's 5 above here, which is, for us, it's very, very cold. Not anything like what Minnesota and Wisconsin are experiencing, but for us here in Tennessee, this is tragic, you know. So...
True.
Yeah,
you haven't seen icy water buckets in a long time in Tennessee, so this is your morning.
No. Although for the last 2 weeks, I mean, every day, yeah, it's been single digits pretty much. It's been really cold.
Well, now you're going to be doing the Southern Equine Expo, which is coming up very soon. Tell us what you're going to be doing there.
Well, I'm going to be doing a lot of ground driving. I mean, we're talking about driving on the bucket list. Well, the way to start that is by ground driving your horse. And I've been doing that since I was a teenager, and it's just a great way to bond with your horse, to learn a lot more about the way that your horse moves, and to learn more about your horse's body language. And it's a great training tool as well. So I'm going to be teaching a lot of people how to do various aspects of that. And then one of my mysteries, my second mystery, the Magnum Equation, is set at the Miller Coliseum where the Southern Equine Expo is going to be held. And so we're running a mystery competition. There's going to be a stolen necklace, and people who come to the event can participate free and win prizes and try to figure out who the thief is.
Oh, cool. That's
yeah,
a great
yeah,
idea.
So that's going to be a lot of fun, and we've got about 32 prizes donated, and grand prize is a silver necklace from Tiffany. So that's going to be really cool.
Whoa.
And
I'll take it. Gold.
Yeah. So it's and of course it's being held over Valentine's Day weekend, and you know what better, you know, to win a necklace that you can give to your sweetheart or that you can just wear yourself. So.
This is February 14th through the 16th, so it is over Valentine's. It's at the Tennessee Miller Coliseum in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And Murfree, how do you say it?
It's Murfreesboro.
Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Yeah, it's the
so
Tennessee
that's
spelling. That's why it gets kind of people hung up on the pronunciation.
Murfreesboro. And there's a ton
yeah.
of great clinicians there, you know, including yourself. You've got Chris Cox is coming in, Dick Peepers coming in, Chase Dodd on the western side, Tandy Crawford on the dressage side.
Well,
so
Jack Dranger, too, who is just as a hero of mine. He used to be based in
Isn't
Minnesota.
Isn't he like 110 years old?
I think he's like 92, you know, and the knowledge that man has is just incredible. When I was a teenager, I went to every horse clinic he gave in Minnesota, and I learned so much from him, and I've continued to learn from him all my life, and I'm just so excited that he's going to be there because, you know, he just keeps going and going and going and keep sharing all this knowledge that he has. So it's going to be a really great event.
Doing good when you're 92 and can still do clinics.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Yeah. You know.
Jeez, that's pretty
yeah.
good. And they're
yeah.
having all kinds of other things. They'll have a ton of vendors there. Blacksmithing competition is new this year for this event, so that's kind of
yep.
fun. We got to do our morning show. Man, remember this, Jamie? It was a long time ago. At the Kentucky Horseshoeing School, they had the, I think it was
oh,
the
yeah.
International or the World Championships or something of blacksmithing. And I actually got to watch a blacksmithing competition. Now, it's a very stinky thing to watch. I will say that. And it doesn't
yeah.
happen very fast. You know, they're making shoes. Now, they do have a speed competition. One of them's a speed competition. I really like that because they were, like, pounding away and going at it. but it was fun. It was fun to see. And, of course, you know, if you're going to the World Championship of a blacksmithing competition, you want to be female because they're pretty much all good-looking males that are doing it. So.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that was my first life. Well, that was my second, like, life goal. I mean, I wanted to be a blacksmith for a long time when I was a kid. My first goal was being a dump truck driver.
What did your parents do to you? My God.
They bought me a Tonka Toys dump truck, you know?
That does not make for a good book, by the way. So just so you know.
Oh, good. Good.
Speaking of books, you're just been writing full here lately. You had the book come out, a little while ago. What was the name of that book that we had you on?
The Magnum Equation.
The Magnum Equation that you guys are all featured in. It's so exciting. I'm really glad you guys didn't kill anybody in the mystery. That was very, very good.
It's addicting. It is. It's one of those books you get started, and unfortunately, I have a very limited time when I can read because that is the child will not let me finish one page. And you, I have actually let my child cry so I can get through a couple pages of the Magnum
Aww.
Equation. That's how good of a mother I am and how good the book is.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's one of the nicest compliments I've ever gotten.
You had another one out after that, too. It was the biography of Lisa Chapman.
I did. That one came out last May. Lisa is the daughter of Dog the Bounty Hunter and has had an amazingly tragic and inspiring life story. She's still a very young woman in her 20s and just really just an amazing person. I think everybody who is just who breathes needs to read this book to just become inspired.
Well, you know, she was on the show too. You got her on the show with us. You're so good. Can you get Carrie Underwood for me? You live in Nashville. Can you get Carrie Underwood for me, please?
I don't think so, but I could try.
Somebody someday is going to be able to do that for me. But tell us about your new book, the one that just came out.
Yeah, the new book is called Hidden Girl, and it's actually written for the teen market, although it's called a young adult book, so a lot of adults, older adults, read the book too. And Shima Hall is my co-author, and Shima was born in Egypt when she was 8. Her very, very poor, destitute parents sold her into slavery. And so she was a slave for a very wealthy family in Egypt when she was just 8 and 9. When she was 10, her captors moved her to Orange County, California, into a gated housing development, and she was a child slave here in the United States. 43,000 people are trafficked illegally into the United States every year for slavery, and only 2% are rescued. And Shima was one of the lucky 2%. When she was rescued, she was almost 13. She knew 3 words of English, and it's really her story, not only of being a slave, but of becoming an American teenager and eventually becoming a citizen of the United States. And it's, you know, it's just amazing that we could be driving down the road and stopping at a gas station, and we could see somebody who's held in bondage. And so the book also gives some tips about, you know, what to look for if somebody might be being held against their will. It's just, it's an amazing story.
Boy, and you said this was written for the teen market?
Yeah. Yep. It is.
Wow.
And it was an interesting challenge because, you know, you don't want to get too dark, but it's human trafficking is a big issue right now, and particularly with the teens. And you know, you're never too young to learn that, you know, the signs of what to look for. And because some of these slaves are being rescued, they're showing up in the workplace, they're showing up in the classroom, and they're needing some, you know, some special friends. So, you know, it's just an inspiring story, and I think it brings attention to something that we don't even realize is going on just right under our noses.
I'm looking here on Amazon. This book is doing very well. You're number one in a bunch of categories.
Yes, yes, it is. It's been number one in the teen biography, number one in teen social issues, children's social issues. So, we're really excited, and Shima has been on she's been on CNN and the Huffington Post, and I'm so excited. Next week, I think it's next week, she's going to be in People magazine. So everybody can look for her there.
Yep, at every checkout in America, she'll be right there.
Yeah, right there. Well, so that's very exciting.
Well, you know, I got to ask you a question because, you know, everybody thinks they're an author and has a book in them, right? Don't we all think that we have the great novel inside?
Well, you know, most people do. Most people have a story.
You have two?
Yeah, I have two.
Overachiever.
They're in my head.
So, but, you know, how do you started out, you write novels and you've written all different kinds of things. You've read articles for a long time and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're at the point now, like these stories, like Shima's story and Lisa's story, is that something your agent finds for you now that you've become so popular? Is that what happens?
I have a fabulous literary agent by the name of Charlene Martin at Martin Literary Management, and she has kept me busy writing for more than a decade. And, you know, I'm just really fortunate I'm able to pick and choose my projects, and I really want to give a voice to people like Shima and Lisa Chapman, who just have really been through a lot and have come out and have just an inspiring story to tell, because, you know, that's to me what kind of keeps us going. You know, it's like, wow, if they can do it, I can do it too. And so those are the kinds of people. Yeah.
We were at the hotel over the weekend, and I was flipping channels, and I came across Dog the Bounty Hunter, and I saw Lisa on there and went, I talked to her. I was right there in the hotel room. I can honestly say I don't actually watch that show unless I come across it.
Well, exactly. And, you know, it's on a lot, so it's not too difficult to find it. So, but Lisa's just fabulous, as is Shima, and you know, I write my horse books and I write my horse mysteries, and but then I really like to break away and just really give a voice to somebody who can inspire all of us.
Well, you do a fantastic job. If you want to see Lisa in person, will you have some books along the sign while you're there at the Southern Equine Expo?
Yep, I'll have a booth, and everybody can pick up their mystery tip sheet and become a private eye and a gumshoe for the weekend and figure out who the necklace thief is and win a lot of prizes. And in the process, see a lot of the great clinicians who are going to be there.
Well, this is February 14th through the 16th, and it's at the Tennessee Miller Coliseum in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And that is brought to you, by the way, I have to get this in, their main sponsor is Tartar Farm and Ranch Equipment. Without Tartar, they wouldn't be doing this show. So it's very inexpensive to get into this show, too. That's one other thing I wanted to mention, is this one is not expensive at all. I can't remember exactly. Do you remember
it's
the amount?
It's $9 a day. $9 yeah. for a day ticket, and you just can't beat that. And the website gives all the details at southernequineexpo.com. And, what a great opportunity and great timing to learn. I mean, we're just all starting kind of the year-long horse experience that we all have. And February is a great time because we're, the weather's hopefully will be improving soon. And, we'll be wanting to get out and do some more things with our horses. And this event's going to give all of us a lot of ideas.
Our favorite author, Lisa Wysocki. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Lisa. You're the best.
And I will say that about any author that puts us in their book, by the way. So just throwing that out there for the world.
So you're just saying she's not special? Is that what you're saying?
No, I love Lisa. Lisa knows that. We've had her on since probably the beginning of the Horse Radio Network, and she's always just fun to talk to. Absolutely love talking to Lisa. She knows that. I was
Absolutely.
Safe to say that. I want to reannounce, in case you missed it earlier, that we are starting the new game next week. It is the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge. What's going to happen at 10 a.m. Eastern now? We're moving the times around. We'll still do our health segment on Wednesdays, and we'll still have Victoria on Wednesdays. We're just switching things time-wise. So at 10 a.m. next Wednesday, we are going to play the first Celebrity Trivia Challenge. It is a celebrity, an equine celebrity of some sort, not the horse, but the rider, against one of our listeners. And it's going to be a three-round trivia challenge. And the winner will take home some prizes that will be announced in advance now. No more spinning the wheel. And next week, we have Gina Miles, Olympian eventer. Gina Miles is going to join us. And if you've ever talked to Gina in person, she's so much fun. We got to see her over the weekend. She was there representing her products at the ADA, and it was just so cool to – it's always cool to sit down and chat with her. She is donating one of her bits, her Gina Miles collection of bits, to the winner, as well as one of her brand-new, just-come-out saddle pads. She has the Gina Miles collection of saddle pads now distributed by Professional's Choice. So you're going to get a bit and a saddle pad, and she's going to sign the saddle pad for you. So if you win the trivia challenge, you'll get those prizes from Gina. And if you do not, if Gina wins, she will donate them to a charity of her choice. That's how we're going to play the game. So we're going to have a sign-up on the website. It's a place where you can sign up. That'll happen by Friday. I'll let you know on Friday where to go to do that. So you can sign up. Once you sign up, you're good. We will then notify you by email if you've been selected for Wednesday morning's game. And we're just going to pick at random, and then you can come on and play. You only have to sign up once, and you'll be in the pool to be selected from Wednesdays there on. Did I explain that well enough? Did you understand?
I think you did a great job. I'm starting to get it. We'll have to just kind of hammer it out on Wednesday, see what happens.
Yeah, Colleen already typed in and said that she loves Colleen. Did you know we met her? You didn't get to hear Monday's show probably, but we got to meet Colleen over the weekend and her sister. So it was a lot of fun.
I love that. That's cool.
Yeah,
so Colleen checked in and said what now?
Colleen checked in and said that she's so excited about the new game. So I think that we'll have one player there anyway.
Sounds good. That's great. Well, I'm sorry I missed meeting them. That had to be fun. And I know it's a fun weekend, and I hope you guys got a little bit of work done. And Jennifer, I must know, I need a shopper's report. What did you get?
We didn't get to bring anything home because we did not have sufficient amounts of luggage, but I pre-ordered several handbags, at least two sheets for Beaker, some booties for PT Scooter, and a few other odds and ends.
Okay, good. Now, Glenn, did you get to do any shopping for my little pony?
Watch that. Yes, I did. I did get to do some shopping for My Little Pony, and that was fun. It was the first Ada I've gone to in, what, since we started doing this 4 or 5 years ago, that I was actually shopping for my own pony.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I know.
That was fun.
Had to be fun. It changes the whole thing, doesn't it?
It does. It does change the whole thing. Now all I have to do is get my cart. I'm still waiting on my cart. I got to get my cart because I'm dying to drive now. So I'm hoping that comes in
Man.
Soon.
He's going to be ready by then.
Can't wait. I'm going to be watching for the truck by the window to pull in with my cart.
Oh, that's great. How much longer do you have to wait?
I was supposed to be here 2 weeks ago, so I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out. I'll let you know.
Okay. Okay, let us know. Well,
I know.
Great. This is fun. I just got a message from Robin Donahue that says, even on the Stable Scoop radio show, you call Scooter My Little Pony all the time.
I hate you people. Just saying.
My little pony.
Let's see what else we can talk about.
I got nothing.
Got
I'm just looking at
the
pictures.
Listeners doing it now. I have an ad to do. Let's do that. High Visibility North America, the distributors for UK's number one high visibility performance sportswear range for equestrian horses and canines, are having a winter promotion right now. The Aspie or quilted wet jackets are on sale at a fantastic price. Gillet. Gillet jackets are on sale at a fantastic price. The entire range is not only functional in that will keep you safe, whether you're in the woods during hunting season, while riding on the road, or out in the trail, but it is fashionable, meaning everyone from eventers to dressage and Western riders will love it. And we know how hard it is to please those dressage riders. The range has everything from winter jackets to lightweight vests suitable for year-round and has already appeared on riders such as Dan James and Kim Gentry. So check them out at highvisibilitysportswear.com. Check out the sale right now on the Aspie or the quilted jackets over there at highvisibilitysportswear.com. I think that's it for this week. Oh, Jennifer has an announcement about Friday. Jennifer? Are you there?
I'm here. This week's prizes for the really bad ads are... Dr. Rose's skin treatment.
There we go.
Dr. Rose's skin treatment and salve and spray are 100% all-natural products. We saw Tony at Ada this past weekend. And great news for shoppers. Tony is now providing his products, the Dr. Rose's remedies, through a distributor. So it's easier than ever for your local tack shops to get Dr. Rose's remedies. So if your local store does not have it yet, please encourage them to do so. They do not have to work with a separate company or create a separate opening order. All they need to do is talk to the Intrepid International distributor, which I'm sure they already buy stuff from already. So Dr. Rose's skin treatment and remedies are antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal, and anti-mother-in-law. Ask for them at your local tack and feed supplier. DrRosesRemedies.com is where you can find them online. And when you need gentle, effective, and economical products for your daily or show grooming needs, look no further than Horse Grooming Solution brands that you have come to know and love. Healthy Hair Care, voted number one horse health brand by consumers, Silverado Show Grooming, and Old Timers Equine. And you can find them at your local tack and feed suppliers, or you can go online to HorseGroomingSolutions.com.
We got to meet them over the weekend again, so that was fun, too. We got to see them over the weekend as well.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I got this package in the mail. I opened it up, and it is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 9 packages of chocolate, all numbered. What am I supposed to do with this?
You hold on to that. Do not eat them. Do not cheat, because that would be cheating, because next week on the show, Kat from Eat Your Tart Out, the blog Eat Your Tart Out, she was just on with us, a week ago, giving us some recipes. She is going to be coming back, and we are going to do the Great Chocolate Challenge. She has also sent us one of those boxes full of 9 samples of different chocolates. And what we're going to do is we're going to taste them on the air, and we have to guess what they are because they're all different flavors and stuff. And now Kat has the habit of finding some very exotic chocolate. She said some of the bars that she sent us were $12 a bar for chocolate. So now I can't guarantee
that. So is this
going
to be like jalapeno bacon kind of chocolate or what?
She did say that they're all vegetarian, so there's no bacon, but she did not rule out jalapenos. So.
Great.
So we are going to do that in the show next week when we get Kat back on, and she's going to lead us through the Great Chocolate Challenge, and we're going to see which one of us three can guess better on the 9 different chocolates. This will be absolutely no fun for the listeners, but it'll be a lot of fun for us.
Yeah, nothing says fun like eating chocolate at 7 a.m. Thanks. It's going to be awesome.
I thought about that. I did think about that. I thought that's going to be fun. We'll make Jamie do that. Because, you know, you have this cushy job, as you've said several times in the show this morning. We might as well add a little bit of stress to it.
What the hell? Why not? Let's do it. Well, hey, lots of love to everybody sitting in their cars right now on 285. Hopefully you had your iPhone chargers plugged into the car, and you've got plenty of gas to stay warm. And sorry, man, it's just awful. I just saw that Alabama is also closed. So those of you in the snow right now, sorry. It sucks. We feel your pain from our warm, sunny places that we live, right, Glenn?
Yes, and for all of you in the deep freeze in the north, light a fire because that's your only
hope.
Sucks,
too. Don't
catch
anyone
everybody.
Else's stuff on fire. Just firewood. Spay, neuter, and guilt. Have a great one.